If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go with me to John chapter 6. Hallelujah. I want to read verses 1 through 5, and then I'm going to jump over to verse 35. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and a Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let me pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for your word that inspires and brings truth to every heart and every ear that's hearing today. Thank you to help me share this message that you've placed upon my heart. And I give you glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Over the past few months, as I've been meditating on this scripture, I believe that there's some things that the Holy Ghost has brought to my attention that for myself, and I believe it's a message even for the body of Christ. A message that shows God's heartbeat, God's purpose in the world today. Now you'll notice over in verse 35, Jesus gives us the application or the spiritual application of what took place in this miracle. And I want to talk about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. You know, Jesus doesn't do things naturally speaking without giving us the spiritual application. Well, the spiritual application of this message is right here in verse 35. Jesus is the bread of life. And I believe that is God's heartbeat for the church today. I believe it's his message for the church today. And I believe whatever we do in life, in the church, we're always busy. In our personal lives, we're always busy doing this and that. But we can never forget, we can never lose track of God's true heartbeat, God's true purpose, and that is Jesus is the bread of life. You know, bread represents life. And in the Old Testament, we see that in God feeding the children of Israel, the Bible says that for 40 years, he gave them manna. Manna is a type of life. It's spiritual, heavenly bread. And for 40 years, the Bible says, a quantity of approximately 3 million people, he fed them manna from heaven, the bread of life. And the Bible says that after those 40 years, there was not one single feeble or sickly person among them. How many of you know that is miraculous? The bread of life. He says in John 6:56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Now, I want you to notice something. In the feeding of the 5,000, it is the only miracle in the entire life and ministry of Jesus that we see written in all four Gospels. The only one. Now, how many of you know that anytime the Holy Ghost repeats himself, there's something of extreme value, of extreme importance that he wants us to understand. He wants us to comprender. to comprehend. Amen? Notice this, that in one of the miracles, a creative miracle here we see in feeding the 5,000, and the other creative miracle in John chapter 2, where he turned water into wine, there's two interesting points I want you to see. In turning the water into wine, a creative miracle, he asked the disciples to get involved. And in John chapter 6, when we see the feeding of the 5,000, another creative miracle, he also asked the disciples to get involved. I want you to see this, that we have a go gospel. God needs you, he wants you, and in order for him to really be effective, he needs us to be in cooperation with his will and his purpose, and that's when we will see divine miracles take place in the church. Are you with me? In John chapter 2, he said, fill the water pots. In John chapter 6, he says, he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. Okay? Why is that important? Notice that the wine represents his blood, and the bread represents his body, and he knew full well the meaning of these two miracles. Because the new birth is also a creative miracle. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says he is a new creature. Hallelujah, a new creature. That is what you and I are when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, a brand new creature. In Ephesians, Paul said that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now notice verse 5, because here's where we see the true and very heartbeat of God. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I think that's interesting because, and I want you to notice here that God at times is going to prove, he's going to test your faith. Now we know he doesn't test us with accidents and hurricanes and sickness and disease. But God is going to test. He's going to prove your faith. Why? Now, we're about to see, in my opinion, one of the greatest miracles Jesus ever did in feeding of the multitude, the multiplication of the bread. But I want you to notice here that before it ever took place, he needed to prove them. Why? Because he needs our cooperation. And it's our cooperation with his divine will and purpose that will set in motion a miracle. Amen. Why is that important? Well, in Mark chapter 6, we see something very interesting. Jesus, in his hometown of Nazareth, came there to do great and mighty miracles. He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. But when he came to his hometown of Nazareth, the Bible says that he could not there do any mighty works. In other words, let me say it like this. All the faith of God could not overcome their unbelief. All God's faith. You see, a lot of times I think when we come to church, we come with this mentality, well, let's see how anointed the preacher is, or let's see how much healing is going to work through this guy, and we don't think that we have anything to do with it. No, I want you to listen here. Brother and sister, we have everything to do with God's plan and God's miracle flow in the church today. Amen. Jesus, the Bible said in Mark chapter 6 that he was astonished. He was absolutely astounded at their unbelief. Unbelief simply put a brake on the will of God being accomplished in that city. Was it God's will to accomplish great things in that city? Absolutely. How does this affect you and I in today? Well, when we come to church, God wants participators. He doesn't just want spectators. And I'm telling you that when we come in faith, believing, involved in what he's doing, that you can leave every single day changed by the power of God. Amen. You see, it makes all the difference in the world coming to church expecting. Because when you come expecting to hear from God, to see God, to feel God, to touch God, it doesn't matter who's in the pulpit. God will minister to your needs and you'll leave a changed being. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why he proved them, because he needed their cooperation to set in motion a great miracle. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let me give you one testimony on how things, once it begins to be set in motion, begins to flow and flow and flow. We have a project in Mexico that's more of an evangelistic outreach, and that's called our Nathaniel Project. You'll see it on the back there in the table. We have a big critter. We have a children's video, all Christian-based. And we use this to go into small villages. We've gone to the villages that they have told us that no other minister outside of Mexico has ever been there before. And in our first year, we've seen just right around 5,000 new births in small villages. Praise God. One of the students' mother came to one of our outreaches right there in the church and saw the video and liked it so much. She's Catholic. She went back to her priest and says, you know, we need to have this video in our church. In the Catholic church, are you listening to me? We're talking the Catholic church. And he said, no, we're not going to have that. That's Christian. We're not going to have that. But the next time he was up ministering, after he finished ministering, he said to the people, now I want you all to come next Saturday because we're going to show this children's video called the Nathaniel video. And he stopped, and all of a sudden it dawned on him, what did I just say? He spoke out of his mouth what he had no intention of doing, but the Spirit of God had him speak it. And the next week in that Catholic church, we showed the Nathaniel video. We gave an altar call, and 75 people received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Come on, rejoice with me. They were so excited about it, he told another Catholic priest, and the following week, another Catholic church, and in that church, they also showed the Nathaniel video, and over 80 people received the Lord. And this, it just began to snowball effect, and it even came to another Catholic church. I want you to know that in and of itself, the Catholic church opening the door for us is a miracle of God. Hallelujah. How many of you used to be Catholic? You know what I'm talking about. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, let's go on. Verse 7. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Notice what he says here. But what are they among so many? I think a lot of times that is the cry of many people in the church today. What are they amongst so many? What can I do? What is my gifting? What is my talent or my ability? What is that compared to? You know, I think sometimes we have the disease of comparisonitis. We compare our giftings, we compare our talents and our abilities with, well, I can't teach like Brother JD, or I can't sing like this person, or I can't teach the children like this. And we compare ourselves, but the whole time God is saying, well, what have I given you?
Yeah, exactly.
What has been placed in your life?
Yeah.
What is that amongst so many? I tell you what, when you take what God has given you and you place it into the hands of the Master, you have set in motion a miracle that will change your life and the life of multitudes. You know, in my hands, bread and fish is nothing but a McSandwich, a McFish sandwich. But when we give that to the Master, when we give that to Jesus, hallelujah, we have set in motion a mighty, mighty miracle. And I think that is what we need to do today. We need to see ourselves as being a part of God's great commission. It's not just this evangelist or this person or this missionary or that missionary. No, it's each and every one of us, each member a minister, each and every one of us an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ doing our part. Hallelujah, in this great commission, and realizing that it's me ministering to my neighbor and this work person and this family member that's going to get the job done.
Yeah.
Now, I believe I shared this last year, but I want to share it again because a lot of times we think mass evangelism is what it's going to take. But I'm telling you right now that with the current world population explosion, if there was a mass evangelism crusade every single day where 1,000 people received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it would take more than 14,000 years to win this world for Jesus. But if you take one person, winning one person and discipling one person in a 1 year time, at the end of 1 year you have 2, of course you keep on doing this, that in 32 and a half years we'll win this world for Jesus Christ. You see, it's you doing your part, me doing my part. We're not all called to the mission field. We're all called to be evangelists, but you are called to the body. And it's the body fitly joined and working together. Hallelujah. You doing your part and realizing, recognizing that God's called you. He's anointed you. Amen. And all you have to do is get it in motion. You know, whatever abilities or talents, giftings that God has given you, put it to work. When you give it to him, when you put it in the hands of the Master, I'm telling you, there is a miracle in store for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go on. Verse 10, and when Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place. I want to stop right here and say this, because I was talking with the Lord about this. Now, why in the world would you put something there about grass? Now, notice, first of all, here that he had the men sit down. In one of the other Gospels, it talks about sitting them down in 50s and 100s. Why is that important? You have to understand the setting. You're out there in a desert place, probably a rocky place, and you are miles, miles from any super Walmart. You are miles and miles and miles away from the 30-minute Domino's boy. You are sitting in a place or standing in a place where there's no food anywhere. And yet the master says, Jesus says, sit down. Now, how many of you know it takes faith to sit down? Because he said, okay, sit down in groups of 50s and 100s because we're going to eat. And you know there's no food anywhere. How many of you know that takes faith? Hmm? Sit down. What? Sit down? You got to be kidding me. There's no food anywhere. And he says, it's time to eat. But first of all, I want you to sit down. Notice here, it took the faith of everyone involved. You see, a lot of times I think we have this idea what great faith this faith preacher has. Huh? Or what great faith this person has or that person has, I can receive from him. But God says, you know, you need to also activate your faith. Because as you activate your faith, hallelujah, as even a grain of mustard seed, are you with me?
Yeah.
Together, we can see great things accomplished. Now, notice this also, it says they sat in a grassy place. I said, why? Why? What does that have to do? You know, I'm going to tell you something, that if you have nothing but deserty, rocky areas, grass is a luxury. How many of you know that God is interested in the small things? That was a small thing, but yet he is still interested in the details of your life. He's interested in what you're doing today. He's interested in what you're going to do this afternoon. He's interested in what you're going to do tonight. And he wants us to taste the good things. You see, the problem is that too many people get off track and forget the real purpose. The purpose is still the Jesus, the bread of life. Prosperity has a great plan in God's plan. Abundance is God's, John 10:10. He's come to give us life and life more abundantly. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But we can't lose the focus of what God's purpose is. But yet here God was interested and he provided grass. That was a luxury. God's interested in details. You know, on our way up here, we've been traveling. The last 2.5 weeks, we've been in New York, Florida, all over Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas, Canada, Washington, and now here. And on our way up here, I'm just thinking, I didn't say anything, I was just thinking to the Lord, as we're leaving Tulsa to come to Seattle, I was thinking, you know, it'd be really nice to fly first class. We're tired, we've been going real, it's been great, but it's been a long trip. As we get to Dallas, I walk up to the counter. And the lady gets on, she says, we have an oversold flight today. We need some volunteers, and we'll put you on the next flight, and we'll give you a $300 voucher. I'm standing there, and I said to her, here's my tickets. When is the next flight? She said, it's about 3 hours from now. And I'll let you fly first class. They paid me $600 to fly first class from Dallas nonstop to Seattle, Washington. Hallelujah! And they gave us lunch. So we had a relaxing lunchtime, and they paid us $600. How many of you know God's interested in little details? And he wants to turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So the men sat down, a number of about 5,000. Look at verse 11. Now notice this. Let me say this one more time. Very important. God needs a platform to work miracles. You know, his church is like a platform. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible said he could not because the Holy Spirit did not have that platform to work miracles because of their unbelief. But what happens when people come to church, not just to go to church, but to have church? Hallelujah. How many know there's a difference in just going to church as into having church?
Yeah.
You know, I went to church all my life, but I didn't have church until I found out that I was the church. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm a part of that body.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we come to church with the attitude of expectancy, being expectant is faith. You know, it's like the day before Christmas as a young child. You're just so excited. You're so thrilled. You can't wait till that sun comes up in the morning. That's expecting. And I believe that's the reason why we don't see many more miracles in the body of Christ, because people don't come expecting. They come as spectators instead of participators. How do you become a participator? You get involved. Hallelujah. When it's praise and worship time, you're involved. Heart, soul, and body. Are you with me? You pay your tithes. That's a good way to prove whether or not you really believe what you believe. Hello. Are you with me? You're involved. You're expecting. Glory to God. And when you come expecting, when you come in faith, you'll never leave the same person as you came in. That'll change your whole being when you come with that attitude, expecting. Go on with me here. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, I love that, they were filled. He said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above, over and above. Over and above. How is your Father God? He is over and above. Hallelujah. He is far above all we can ever even think, hope, or desire. That is our God, Ephesians 3:20. Over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, I want you to see something here. Where did this miracle take place? Now, once again, we're seeing a natural, physical miracle take place. But the spiritual meaning and application is Jesus is the bread of life. Okay, follow me now. Now here we see a great miracle, but I want to ask you once again, where did the miracle take place? You see, a lot of people think it took place in the hands of Jesus, but I believe the Spirit of God showed me where it really takes place. Now notice this. This little lad comes to Jesus, he gives him what he has. What little he had, Jesus multiplied it. He took it, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. Now, I grew up in church all my life. My thought or my thinking on this miracle was that when Jesus gave to the disciples the loaves and the fishes, that they're carrying around 75-pound loaves of bread. But that's not how it took place. You see, Jesus, as he gave it to his disciples, he gave it all to the disciples, each one with an equal portion, each one with an equal amount. And the disciples then went about into all the different 50s and 100 groups and would break off a piece and give to one. That person then in turn would take some of that, break it off, and give it to another one. And that person then would break off and give it to another one. As disciples began to give it out, the miracle took place not in the hands of Jesus, but in the hands of the people. It took place in the giving. Amen. That's where the miracle took place. As they gave it, it began to multiply. And that's why we can't just look at ministry, at just a few chosen people that God has ordained and anointed to be the ministers. No, it takes place in your hands also. Amen. Glory to God. As we give out Jesus, the bread of life, we will see miracles take place in our lives also. We have to see this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as a gospel of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. And it's got to continue to be given and given and given. And as we do that, we will see great flows in our lives also. Are you with me? I want you to notice that the people were more interested in others than they were even in themselves. At any time, this miracle could have stopped. At any time, a person could have said, no, I don't believe this is really going to take place. I don't want anything to do with it. No, I don't, forget it. Could have stopped the flow. But everyone began to take and also began to give. And in that giving process is where we see the miracle take place. You see, they were more interested in others than they were even their own personal needs, in their own finances, in their own popularity. Hallelujah? Are you seeing this?
Yeah, good.
You know, there was a time when General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was having problems and he wanted to motivate his people. And so he sent out a telegram to all of his different offices. And on that telegram, it had one word, and that was it. It was the word others. I believe that's the type of gospel that we have. Hallelujah. You know, when you help others fulfill their needs, you will never lack. The miracle was in the giving. Wayne Myers, a missionary in Mexico, said this to me one time. He says, when you give because you can't help it, you'll receive because you can't stop it. Woo! Hallelujah! That's the kind of gospel that we have. Glory to God. 12 basketfuls. They ended up with more than what they had in the beginning. I'm going to tell you this. You cannot outgive God. You can't do it. Several years ago, we were just on the mission field for a short time, and I'm praying one morning, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me to give a specific amount to another pastor. At that time, it was more than half of what we even had in the bank account. You know, when we first went to Mexico, with a little over a month to leave, I had zero in the bank and zero in promises. I was going because God said to go, and I believe that when we go because He says to go, He'll supply the needs. But it was a great step of faith. But we're on the mission field now for a short time, and God speaks to me to give a little over half of everything we had in our bank account. And I did it. You know, I believe that missionaries shouldn't be moochinaries. See, I grew up in church all my life, and my mentality of a missionary, I felt sorry for missionaries. You know, lived in mud huts or dirt huts, and you know, I barely had anything. I had to struggle, all the problems, and we live in a city of 26 million people. The pollution, the traffic, all this kind of thing. You don't ever have to feel sorry for me. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And I've learned that the principles of prosperity work in Mexico City on the mission field, just like they do here in Portland, Oregon. Amen. Hallelujah. And as we apply those principles in our lives, glory to God, God's blessings cannot be stopped. Are you with me? That pastor told me, you know, I've only had two missionaries that have ever sent me something. Thank God for being obedient. Amen. But I want you to notice that pastor, his church began to grow, and God began to send people across his path. And about 2 years ago, he said, you know, I want you to know that we've got some business people here, and we want to bless you guys. He sent our entire family to a conference, my wife and my three kids, all expenses paid, to Hawaii 2 years ago. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you cannot outgive God. And I'd share that testimony just so that you can see it, because I set in motion, because I was obedient to give to him. The Lord saw to it several years later. Hallelujah. Now, I don't do it just to get something back. I did it whether I would ever get anything back from him. But because I was obedient to the Spirit of God, can that apply in your life? Well, what has God instilled? What has God given to you? What giftings, what talents, what abilities has he placed in your life? Are you putting those into practice? Are you utilizing them in the church? Hello? In your own personal life? Are you with me? God wants to set in motion. Now, I want you to see something here. I believe there are great moves of God that he wants to continue to do in the church today. You know, the Azusa Street Revival, back at the turn of the century, a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We have the charismatic, the Pentecostal movement in the 40s and the 50s. We see the great teaching revival, the healing revival. In the 70s, we see a great teaching revival. We've seen revivals of joy and finances and this type of thing. But anytime we see those things put to a stop or a halt, it was always because people got off onto an extreme of finances. Are you with me? Brother Hagin said the reason why that the healing revival came to a stop was because people got off on the extreme of finances. Now, I am in no way against finances. I totally believe in the prosperity message, and we preach it. But I don't believe it's good to get into the ditch. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And the reason why we get into a ditch is because we lose focus of what really is God's purpose and God's heartbeat of finances or joy or the Holy Ghost or anything that God wants to pour out upon his people. God does that because he wants to bless you. He wants blessed people so that you can feed your passion for souls.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a whole lot easier to give out of yourselves when you're not inwardly hurting and struggling.
Right.
Are you with me?
Good.
That's why God wants you blessed. He wants us prosperous. He wants us full of joy so that we can feed our passion for souls. Are you with me?
Yeah.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it shows us, if you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, why we have these great flows. To be blessed, to be prosperous, to be envied, as the Amplified Version says, so that we'll feed our passion for what is truly God's heartbeat, Jesus, the bread of life. And I believe that as we understand these things and we see God's heartbeat and God's true purpose in life, as we keep that in front of our hearts and in front of our minds as the focal point of what he wants to do, I believe we'll see great flows in the church. I believe that God wants to do more in the church today. But we cannot lose our focus for what is his true heartbeat. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Why? To give. Hallelujah. To give. Say that with me. To give. One more time. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's something on the inside working on the outside. Somebody said that everything that's external in the Old Testament is internal in the New Testament. I believe there's a truth there. There's something on the inside of you when you got born again, when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is, as you share, as you give, as you shine, as you let your light shine, that is giving the bread of life. And that bread will inspire and change people's destinies. And we cannot forget that that is our purpose in this life, is to give the bread of life. Are you with me? You know, in essence, it really wasn't about Jesus. It really wasn't even about that little boy. It was about the multitude.
Good.
About getting the bread of life into the hands of the people. That's our great commission. That's what God's called you to do. To give life. To share Jesus, the bread of life. And as you do that, and keep that as the focal point, keep that as your purpose in life, and realize that through the giving, we see miracles take place. And as you're more concerned in the needs and necessities of others, your needs will never lack. You will never go and have lack in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every joint, every person doing their part.
For additional tape copies or more information regarding Tim Rogers Ministries, please write to Post Office Box 572, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma 74013.